sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And here are the five-word plot summary. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Skeleton Boys After Dark, and John is drunk.
John is drunk.
We are currently recording this at 11:30 p.m. at night. The world is on fire around us. Everything has sucked for the past 7 days.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
Awful.
We are,
and I'm John.
No, that sums it up. And welcome to the show. Sweet. We will review It's What's Inside.
We live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we live in Los Angeles, and it's been terrifying.
Yes.
But last week. But when you hear this, hopefully we're not burned up.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, holy hell, yeah. Hopefully not. It's kind of like that meme where everybody's like, oh, you know, this is kind of like life, where it's the dog and it says, this is fine, and everything's on fire around them. No, that's not at all how I felt. Like, no. This sucks.
No, yeah. We're panicking, like, let's get the fuck out of here. Fuck this place. Let it all
burn. We gotta go. Where do we go? Fuck.
That's a good...
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is also like financially the worst anybody's been in LA in like the past like 5 years.
I know, yeah. Everything is just awful and expensive and terrible. Yeah.
But why do you guys still live here? Fuck off! All right, anyway.
Well, I liked what, I don't know, we're way off track already. Yeah. I think I barely released it the title we're reviewing, so. Yeah. What is it? Harold Perrineau? Paramore? I don't know.
Harold Perrineau.
Yeah. What did he write on his Instagram? He wrote that this is a blue collar city, which is true. People don't know that, yes. But it's a very blue collar city.
Oh my god! Holy shit! Yes.
And he said that like all the weird artistic kids come and move here, so it's like why wouldn't we want to help and support people? Like, people think we're, you know, shallow and self-centered and like we don't care about our neighbors, which isn't true. Most people are very nice here.
No, we're shallow and self-centered, and we like our neighbors too.
Yeah.
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 No, I think like people always want to shit on big cities because they don't live here. I think that's primarily what happens, and the whole like religious aspect of it too really pisses me off. Like, well, that's what happens when like it's nothing but a bunch of hedonists and blah blah blah. I'm like, that's not at all what the city is like. Like, you've never been here, so you're gonna say all this shit anyway, and like, you know.
Yeah,
sorry, your god doesn't exist anyway, so we lost some listeners.
That's fine. They can go. Yeah, no, I would echo that. Yeah, this is an amazing city to live in. So many good people. I think, like, because it's mostly like working class, blue collar people. I don't think people know that about LA.
No. And it's also like the Palisades, I get it. A lot of rich people live there, but a lot of poor people live there too. Altadena, though, that is not primarily a rich area.
That's the suburbs. That's.
It's a nicer area, yeah. Sure. But, I mean, was, I should say. Like, it's. Yeah, we're way off topic, but it's just like, well, what else can we talk about? This has been horrific. It's been fucking scary.
Mm.
It's been keeping me up at night. It's been keeping you up at night. Mm. We are trying to work through it to pretend that we're okay as a fucking lie. Like, there's no, like, the winds. This is just like, people are like, oh, it's over, right? I'm like, no, this is the beginning of the Santa Ana wind season. It's like, it doesn't stop. It keeps happening periodically. Like,
yeah, and I don't think there's like no, what did they say? There's like, there's no way to even measure the amount of destruction to they awful. Can't even gauge how much it's going to be yet. They don't even know. Yeah. And every day, what is the, I know we're really off topic now. What is it, like 27 people died already?
Yeah.
27 is the last thing I heard.
And then all people want to do is talk shit about, like, well, that's what happens when, like, the fire department is not fucking prepared, or like this or that, or, you know, they cut 100,000 from the fire department's budget.
Which isn't true.
Then they, which, okay, so they did cut some, right? And a fire department official did say that. And then he said, but you don't understand, even if we did have that, we were not prepared for something like this. This is like
natural disaster. Massive, it's a natural disaster.
Massive fucking horrific event.
This, like, is Katrina, or what's another natural disaster? Like,
that people want to believe in, aside, like, they're like, why can't you fight fires? Like, how do you predict fires? Are you fucking with me? Like,
mm-hmm.
You can predict what, humidity and precipitation and blah blah blah, right? Like, and you, okay, it's gonna rain this much probably, it's gonna snow this much probably. You can't tell me that you've ever seen a weather report say, like, it's gonna be this much fire today, it's gonna be like six inches of fire today.
On top of the fact this is unprecedentedly dry time, it's never been dry, it always rains this month, which it didn't, hasn't rained in, like,
oh man, it's
since
been awful.
The summer or something is what they said.
Not, I mean, it was like, it barely rained then too. It was really bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So everything's,
and that's because it rained a shit ton before. And like every Angelino, right, we talked about, like, I surely hope it rains that much a year from now, because if it doesn't, it's going to be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway. And that's hysterical. So too.
Well, I mean, okay, let's do a show. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, give our first thoughts, and then we go do a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We're reviewing Hysteria Season 1, Episode 2, Die Young, another town that is going through a crisis.
Yeah, apparently.
As it develops, as they kind of unraveling this mystery of who killed the boy in the beginning of the show, right? That's what we learned.
Yes. Which apparently the girl that got kidnapped and returned has no idea that happened.
And they leave it in a very, like, I kind of already know where they're going with that. It's kind of obvious, right? You guessed that it was the mom. We don't know yet, but she's kind of doing it on purpose.
I feel like it's the mom of the girl that got kidnapped. Whitehead, I think, is her last name. And then I'm inclined to believe that the other person is the love interest, the granddaughter of Bruce Campbell.
I think I know who her lover is, the person that orchestrated the kidnapping. Do you have a guess on that? Because I think I know who it is.
No.
I'm more than sure it was the deputy sheriff with the mustache who was wearing black gloves.
He was being weird.
He was being super weird. And why would he be the one to answer it and not the actual sheriff?
Because he was also the guy that put our main kid in custody, right?
I believe so. I think he, I don't know if he ever did the arrest, but
Dylan, yeah.
There was
Gene Campbell, right? Would be the name of the deputy, I think.
I believe so, yeah. He's an actor I wasn't familiar with.
Am I wrong? Oh, Officer Hartman. Eric. No, I don't know. Not sure. Sorry. I'm sorry, actors. I know you listen to our podcast. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's for that.
I think it is Officer Hartman.
Oh, so Officer Hartman. Okay, so Eric TAD. Sorry. Sorry, I can't say your
yes,
last name.
Yes, it is.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
I suspect he's part of it. He's kind of was the one on the phone that we didn't get a clear look of who she was talking to at the end of the episode.
How do you feel about Spud getting all like taking to heart what
Bruce Campbell? Bruce
Campbell's character's name? Chief Ben Dandridge. So when Dandridge was like, just take it in, do whatever, and then he got real emotional.
Yeah, he's actually been the one character I haven't liked in this show. Only because he just seems like the comic relief or like a best friend. He didn't really have much of a role that was, to me, clearly defined. But I did like that scene, and I liked the way it like came up again later when he actually saw the dead body and he kind of like changed his tune a lot. He got more serious about his own mortality, basically. And then up to that point he was like not really like taking it in or whatever, and Bruce Campbell kind of laid it out like, one of your friends, one of your peers is dead, like gone. So like that really resonated with him. That was actually one of the better scenes. I think the thing I didn't like about this episode, there's a couple of like bad dialogue scenes they gave to the goth girl that I didn't particularly like.
I know. But the Spud scene with Dandridge, right, Bruce Campbell's, was, I really like how poignant the whole thing was. It was also like him saying, hey, so you made this flyer and you did this, like, why? Why would you do that when some kid or people have been, like, kidnapped? And now I gotta fucking investigate you. Because if I don't, I'm not doing my job, even though I know you didn't do it, you know? But yeah, that's why... I don't know. I think that was probably my favorite scene of the episode.
That's a really good call. Yeah, I did actually like that scene. I was a little like... sorry, I'm letting in my cat. I have to because we're in her bathroom. I recorded him in her bathroom. Didn't really
want to record inside of the litter box.
It would be very quiet.
It's a very large litter box.
Good sounds. Good proof. Yeah, I was a little like, I don't really like the Dylan stuff. I was getting kind of like anxious, kind of frustrated with it, but I think that's the intention of it. Does that make sense? Like, it's supposed to be that way because he made the pentagram on his hand for the daughter. We learned that she's the deputy's granddaughter.
Dandridge. She's acting more sus every time we see her. Right? There's like something a little unnerving about her, which, you know, is gonna track. I feel like that. You write a story like this, and the girl that everybody wants usually is a bad guy. So I'm also gathering this from, I know you haven't seen the series, but the two movies, The Babysitter with Samara Weaving, was same kind of idea. I'm like, oh, she's so cool. Like, I want to be with her. And then she ends up being a bad guy. Sorry, spoiler alert.
How dare you? Yeah.
Except when you watch the second movie. Not the same thing.
Picking up my phone and deleting that movie. I'm not going to watch it. No, I'm just kidding.
But you should.
Yeah. Spoiled. No, I'm just kidding. Throw it out. Yeah. Go ahead.
But yeah, no. What else happens?
I felt like Julie Bowman's...
Bowen.
Is, yeah. Other, sorry, I didn't mean to change topic. But like, I feel like Julie Bowman's the only one in a horror show movie. Like, she's the only one that's like actually like having...
Something bad, having, like, kinda, yeah.
Yeah, she's having like an episode, and it was like a supernatural thing where she was like dragged.
Oh man, downstairs. It's like real fucked up because what the priest, like, for the first time is going like, okay, so like he's being angsty. Okay, so your qualms about your son or this and that. Okay, so are you afraid of what's going to happen to your son, or are you just afraid of your son? And then, like, that, like, really changed your perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of fun. Like, I really like how this show is trying to be grounded at the same time. Every single time something, like, silly happens, it's, like, trying to ground itself again.
Yeah, that's actually a great call, because it is incredibly, like, smart. And I think it did a great... So far, the way it plotted it was, like, you have these very broad characters, and they're adding all of these... like nuances, like Bruce Campbell as the sheriff of the town, you kind of maybe expect a certain thing from him, but he's actually very grounded and very like common sense.
He's not silly at all.
Yeah, very kind of authentic, especially like Bruce Campbell's performance. This is a little something that he wouldn't normally see him in this, but yeah. This type of character. But he always has like logical explanations and reasons, and like he seems like the opposite of what you expect a sheriff of a town that's in like crisis like this.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, that was something that stood out to me, was his performance. It was not like what I would thought Bruce Campbell's performance would be. So he's almost like a dad.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, the last time I saw Bruce Campbell do a serious performance was Maniac Cop.
Yeah.
You remember that? Like, he's not funny at all in that. He's just like trying to prove he's not the guy that's killing everybody. Before we leave talking about this episode, which, how did this end? I think in general everybody thinks that Dylan killed
the kid,
right? Because they go to the funeral and for some reason the mom assaults him and tries to like pull his bandage down, which like things like that, I know they need to happen in shows, but I'm like, man, I'd be so pissed that I would fucking punch her and be like, I don't care that your kid's dead.
Oh yeah, I would.
Don't touch my fucking child, or like,
yeah,
don't touch me, like, fuck off.
Yeah,
I'm hurt for a reason. Don't touch my bandage. Wendy Stansler directed this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she directed a lot of things like Party Down, For All Mankind, but more importantly to me, in 2004 she directed
Sex and City.
I knew you were gonna know exactly which one that was important to me. Like, that's why this episode was great.
Oh yeah. Oh wait, which one's this? Cardo. Oh no. I thought she directed an episode of Carnival Row, which I was thinking it was Carnival with Nick Stahl and Clancy Brown. I was like, oh my God. But no, it's not, she didn't.
Carnival, the fucking excellent TV series that like literally got nipped in the bud.
Like, right when it got good.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, just cut it off. I'm like, no, okay, yeah. Fine.
Yeah, no, this is really good. I really like it. I think it's as surprisingly great so far. I've been loving.
Yeah.
It's only been two episodes, but I like the direction. I like the storytelling, and I like the actors, the characters.
I think it's just like pretty fucking good script writing too. Like, it's engaging, so you're not bored at any moment. I don't know. Yeah,
it's really well for a TV show. It's really well constructed. Like,
yeah,
like there's big mysteries like the earthquakes, and then there's like little things like what's happening with the kids and everything, and then there's like this peripheral like side characters with the adults and stuff.
Like Julie Bowen getting abducted by like something that she can't see, but you're like, maybe it's in her head.
Mm-hmm.
But when she pulls up the sleeve of the mom, she sees the same marks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh shit. So
what's her face? Had it too. The religious mother. I think, didn't she have it too? No. Am I making that up?
I don't know. Maybe I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I could have sworn she was a part of it. So I don't know.
I think she had the same.
I don't know. You're probably right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I definitely remember that the episode ended with that scene we spoke about. She was talking about somebody over the phone with, and it seemed like they were all kind of a part of it. Like,
yeah,
all the women in the neighborhood. Yeah, I think that's a really fun, interesting mystery about what's going on, you know, in the town. And I like the way they've infused the metal, the sort of like 80s metal in it. It's not like annoying or anything. It's or forced.
No, it's like even Dandridge, right? Sheriff Dandridge talks about like, oh, so what kind of metal? Like, I forgot what he says, like Led Zeppelin or something. Like, yeah. No, heavier stuff, like, you know, like Iron Maiden or like Judas Priest.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but every couple of years they always say something's heavier, whatever. It's like, that's really funny. That's exactly what happened. Like, this is heavier than metal. It's heavy metal. This is heavier than heavy metal. It's death metal. Like, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it gets more extreme. Yeah. But yeah, so far so good. I really like the show. Yeah, this was another fantastic episode. Though I don't understand, like, the goth girl, this is important to me. The goth girl, like, her look changes too drastically to where I feel like it's a little too cartoonish, because she dressed very normal, and she had like a complete 180 at the funeral, because she's like wearing very, very like veil over veil. Yeah, yeah, overdone. It's supposed to be a joke. And I don't know. It's important that we get the proper goth aesthetic, like, sorted out, because
she's also the only person that, so the girl that got kidnapped at the beginning of the first episode comes back, and the only person she's confiding in is her.
Right, because she's the girl that returned is hiding that she was with the boy that died. She didn't reveal it, so I don't even think the mother knows. Maybe just the kidnappers, because somebody was standing outside their room with the boots, saw them together.
Yeah, which I'm wondering, like, that could easily be like the mom knew about it and needed to teach her a lesson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll find out what happens, I guess. But yeah, this is a very engaging series.
Yeah, because they had that real quick. I know we got to move on, but like that was such an unexpected moment when she kind of like, everybody's looking at Dylan and be like judging him that, oh, like, he killed the kid. But then she's like, all right, well, like, she kind of like tells everybody that's assembled there at their lunch or whatever, looks like their lunch period, that no, he didn't kill anybody, you know, basically laying it all out to like change their minds, which is, I find like that's such an unexpected moment. And that's not really like, it's not really realistic, but it's,
yeah,
but it's sort of saying like, we're not gonna take the show this way, we're gonna turn it the other way. So
because she's like, yeah, she said no, he was with me and my friends at the drive-in, and the guy that's been trying to like really push them to be like, no, you guys are freaks, you guys kill my friend, he was like, no, he may be a freak, but he's not a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
weird,
interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
But there's also motives too. Now, I'm sorry. Like, mm-hmm. The more we talk about the show, but that same kid. Let me get his name right. Sorry. No, that's the wrong thing.
Cliff.
Cliff, whose dad is the coach of the football team, made him the starting quarterback, right, or something. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because our like main guy is gone, so we're gonna put you in. And it's his bet for going like, thanks dad, he says dad, and then he says coach, and everybody laughs at him, and then you see that everybody's kind of ragging on him too.
Mm-hmm. Then nobody likes the, it's not a very popular decision.
No,
so you're right,
so there's a lot of motives being thrown everywhere. Yeah,
and he's been antagonistic, and in certain instances he's also been like you said, like kind of like going along with the lie. So his motive, like you said, is very like sus. He could be one of the kidnappers.
Yeah,
he could be. I don't know. I mean, he could be one of the kidnappers. He could be involved with like the bigger stuff. I don't know how much he will be a part of it. You know, it's hard to tell. But no, you're absolutely right. That does kind of like put him in the, you know, position to to be involved.
I'm also inclined to believe that some of the other kids, maybe like the main girl and Cliff, are actual Satanists.
Right.
Trying to get what they want, and then they're blaming it on the weird kids. I mean, obviously, somebody's blaming it on the weird kids.
No, that's actually true, too, right? That you wouldn't suspect the popular kids to be Satanists.
Yeah.
That they think they're blaming it on the weird kids.
Unless you saw the babysitter, and all the popular kids are trying to do the Satanist ritual.
Yeah, that's also true, too. The only thing that I think the only thing I will have negative is they totally miscast the husband. Could we both agree? Right? He's a little, like, I don't know. He delivers dialogue like wet paint. Like, it's just like.
It's almost like they were trying to look for, what's his name that plays, what's his name? From Deadpool, the character that
dies
in the second one, but Deadpool goes back and brings him back, and then he's like, kind of the guy that saves Deadpool in Deadpool 3, like whatever his name is, I forget his name.
Yeah, that actor.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to go for like a actor like him, and they just didn't decide to go with him.
I feel like he's the most thinly sketched character. He's very conservative dad, but not in the like political sense, but just very like boring dad, like. Son, we're going to ground you. You can't.
Do you think he's one of the evil people?
That would be an interesting twist. Do you think there's like a Stepford Wives thing going on here?
Maybe. I mean, so Julie Bowen is clearly going through something, and he's like, is there anything else going on? But like, he's not being outright about it. I don't know.
He seems like a little like, definitely she's pushed him away.
Yeah.
About what's happening with her. Could be like some Stepford Wives shit. Like, they're getting like it's all the men.
Very well.
Because right now we know at least two or three wives have this rash, red dots on them.
They could also be fucking the same guy that's been rubbing their penis on their wrists and legs.
Yes. That's we're not having ruled that out yet. Put it on the board.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Don't beat me up, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I'm excited to continue the series.
Same. All right. Let's move over to our main review of It's What's Inside. John, what's inside? You want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny,
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for It's What's Inside. Getting duped by old switcheroo.
Yep, classic.
Coming in at number 2 for It's What's Inside. No one will be masturbating. Like, what would be the first thing you'd do?
It doesn't matter whose body I'm in. I'm like, I'm going to jerk off real quick. I'll be right back. Your body needs to poop. You didn't know this.
And coming in at number 1 for It's What's Inside. Men's idea of most women.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I could not help. This is going to be my overall idea of this movie is I could not help but think a dude wrote this, right? And I had to look it up and be like, why? Because it seemed like, oh, the stem of the problem is like irrational women, irrational women, irrational women. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Not to say I didn't enjoy most of the movie, but like towards the end, I was like, oh, really? Is this what we're going with? Okay.
You hate women.
Yeah. No, but you know, it's like, oh my God, what? Really? Okay. Because, no spoilers, but yeah, it was like, what? Really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what'd you think overall, though? First thoughts?
I thought it was fun. It felt like a, like a Freaky Friday meets Clue or something. I don't know. It felt like Bodies, Bodies, Bodies also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really felt like a Bodies, Bodies, Bodies sort of movie.
Yeah, they did.
The props were fucking awesome.
Oh, really?
Prop Buster is a friend of mine. Tell you that right now.
So we're not going to... Whether we like the film or not, that shouldn't be colored about props.
that briefcase, there's a briefcase that's clearly like switching people's minds that look really fucking cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like the design I thought was cool but weird. I couldn't decide, and like it felt like a party house, I guess is what the idea was, even though it was like a fucking a bachelor party, right?
Was it? It was not a bachelor party, but a pre get together, because the wedding was the next day, right? What's that called?
I don't know. It was for the
You've
group,
been married,
right?
Many times, John. I need you to tell me what these things are.
And this is exactly why I stopped getting married. I could not figure out what it was called.
Pre-wedding party. That's what it says in the descript on our notes here.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah.
But
it was fun. Like I didn't. Yeah, there was like weird things going on. There's like different rooms in this house or something. I don't know.
I will say I liked the central idea of it. The kind of core of what it was. I like the story. And the themes of what the story of what they were telling. I just was a little like, I think there's moments where I didn't particularly like some of the acting choices and there was like, I don't know why it bothered me, but it kind of bugged me. They were like doing this like hyper fast style of like cutting stuff together that just didn't work for me. I thought it was too much because I felt like, they have such a fun, like narrative device to kind of get the story started that they're trying to say. Which I don't think it's a spoiler to say that it's like this guy that's kind of like an outcast of their friend group or whatever. He's like brings a device to where they're able to switch into each other's bodies for like 20 seconds or something, right?
Yes, that would be Forbes.
Yes, Forbes brought the device, and then he's kind of like on the outs of them, and it's kind of like that's I almost wanted that to like focus more on that part of it instead of like this like kinetic, and it's purely just a stylistic thing he's doing, like this hyperkinetic like cutting together fast and moments and stuff. Greg Jardine, I didn't particularly like it. I thought it was a little too showy, a little too much, personally.
Well, that's where I got into the whole like, so different people decided that they were gonna take advantage of being in other people's bodies, and then in particular, it was like the women were not all of them. Maybe like okay, the most popular woman had no qualms about like her life. But it seemed like our main woman was like trying her best to do like, I want to be somebody different because the person I'm in love with wants something different. And they kind of established that at the beginning when she's trying to put on a wig and like
role play.
Her boyfriend is like, you know, jerking off and it catches her and it gets weird. And I don't know. There was something about it that rubbed me the wrong way. Not him. like, it was just like, you know, on top of like her already just being beautiful, but like it's more of like the choices she makes later to get back at him. And I'm like, why would anybody do this? Just break up with him. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand.
What's
like, this is really fucked up. Like, and it's only the women that make like these horrible, like fucking fucked up decisions.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're kind of saying the same thing in different ways. Like, yeah, yeah. I think we're saying different things. Like, we, I think we're both kind of hitting on the fact that, like, some of it seemed a little too, like you're saying, like, convenient to the plot. Because yeah. She does, like, our main character, Shelby, has, like, a total, like, we'll get into it later, like, 180 about what the decision she made kind of felt like didn't seem logical. Does that make sense? Like, and then they try to justify it by, like, other...
In a horrible way, I thought. Yeah. Like, I was like, what? Why?
To where it's like, I can't even really root for this person. Like, I don't want her to get what she wants because, like, she's selfishly using other people to get it, you know? Because of yeah. their situation that they're in by the end. It didn't ring true at all, like, for the character. Like, I know that, like you said, like, they established the fact that, like, she... is clearly unhappy and is looking at her friends on social media and seeing like this amazing lives and stuff. So she's envious, right? And she's probably only feeling those things because she's kind of in a like an empty relationship, right? With this other guy who doesn't really value her in the same way or like gives her the same attention.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like explained through the movie as to why. So yeah, no, I didn't, from where that character started and where she ended up, I was not, that trajectory didn't really like fully follow.
Cause it also starts off kind of fun, right? So like Forbes comes in, he's like the kind of wild card invite. I guess they did a bunch of, like, there was one party in college where a couple of people fucked up other people's lives. But Forbes went on to become a scientist anyway, comes back and he's like, oh, I make games, so you want to try this game, and like, you know, what does it do? And then they do it without Forbes really explaining anything, and they switch bodies and they freak out and then go back, and he's like, that was cool, right? So they do it again and he says, basically, my scientist friends and I kind of play this game as like a mafia sort of style game, like who's the bad guy or who's who.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that aspect was really fucking fun. I really enjoyed that idea. And then I think it gets a little too adult teen drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of lost me a little bit, but it still was fun. And you know, I watched it to the end going like, oh, that was fun. But it didn't have the same payoff as like Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. So it felt like to me like the same style of movie, but at the end of Bodies, 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 I was like, that's fucking hilarious. I love that.
Yeah, I don't think there was much of a like by the end, I don't think there's much of a cathartic end to it. You know, there wasn't much of a, I think they get to where they wanted to go, but how we got there, I think some of the characters' behaviors to get to the end was like didn't really like make sense. I couldn't follow that. Even though it's really kind of hard at some point, because I guess we should say like there's so much body swapping going on. It's kind of hard to like, you don't know who's lying, who's not lying. But they do this one like really fun visual trick where like
it goes red
and we're able to see who's really talking in that body, so we know who the character is.
But even then, it was still like hard to gauge who was supposed to be who. Mm-hmm. Like it was kind of annoying at some point.
Yeah. Do you have any other? And I kind of thought some of the writing and acting was a little flat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not to be mean. I hate being mean. I hate picking on that, but it's like when it's super noticeable. It's like
some of the actors, like the Ruben actor was like very on the nose douchebag, and I was like, okay.
I think Forbes has a really tough monologue towards the end of this scene or whatever. After something happens, he has like a scene where he has to kind of like explain stuff, Forbes, and I didn't particularly think it was strong. When some stuff happens,
I think we need to go into spoilers.
Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about.
A lot of body swapping. I'm like, I have no idea who is at some point.
Right. Okay, cool. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Oh, we didn't even mention, sorry. So, more importantly, everything starts, shit really hits the fan because people were trying to sleep with each other, but two people in particular decide they are going to sleep with each other, and it is Reyna, that's the name of the actress.
Brooke
is in,
is in Mari, is it something like that, right? It's,
Maya's body, who is like the more like spiritual person, call her hippie, and Ruben is the person getting married the next day,
mm-hmm.
has always had a crush on her, and he is in Dennis's body. Something like that. Yeah, right?
You're right.
So they're making out and they're leaning against something upstairs and that gives out and they fall onto like something that's very spiky and die. So Brooke and Dennis's body are dead and they can't go back into that body, which sparks the whole like, what are we going to fucking do?
Right. Which,
and then
that's a scene I didn't like with Forbes. By the way, he has a tough scene there where I didn't particularly like right after that happens by the pool.
So
yeah,
now we're gonna get in spoilers, right?
No, we are in spoilers. We'll just leave it. I'll leave it as is. Okay,
So that's not actually Forbes.
No. Yes, of course, it's not Forbes. But
so I think, man, that's a tough monologue to do because the entire time it's just Forbes' sister duping everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget. Beatrice. Yeah. So they're all trying to figure out what they're going to do now. And then at some point, for whatever fucking reason, who is it that decides I'm going to fuck over Cyrus and say, because they're in Cyrus's body, oh, it was Forbes, right? But it's not Forbes, it's Beatrice, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that what happened?
Yes, because he takes the, he's in Dennis's body. And Cyrus catches him lying about it, but it's Beatrice who is taking his money, who's transferring the money.
Oh, yeah, because Dennis is
rich,
super well off of mom and dad's money.
Mm-hmm.
And Beatrice, aka Forbes, is transferring like 2 point something mil to a different account.
Because I think it was because Dennis was like fucking her when she was underage. Right. I shouldn't say that was very crude, but he was like.
But also, this is where it's like, okay, because women with mental issues can't handle it. It was like, oh, she has episodes, so she gets crazy. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't going to continue to be a theme in the movie, right? And then it was basically the overall theme of the movie. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's where I got a little weird about like, what did I just watch? Because I wanted to like it, but.
Well, let me post this. I don't think the guys are posed any better. Any of the guys are. They're all trash people, along with.
Definitely not. But that's maybe expected, but also they are not the full reason everybody gets fucked over, or the full reason, like, it's because Forbes' sister Beatrice is fucking upset and goes through this whole rigmarole to get this done. And then Shelby decides this is the correct punishment for this guy, my boyfriend Cyrus, who hasn't loved me in a long time, is to make sure he goes to jail forever. I'm like, what the fuck?
Right, because Shelby ended up in the Nikki was the one getting married, right? She was marrying Ruben.
Was she?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
That was her thing, and she's like a influencer on Instagram, on the social media and stuff, so.
It wasn't like a different person? It wasn't like, I think like Sophia was the name of the character? No? Am I wrong in that?
That
Ruben was going to marry somebody else, and Ruben brought all his old college friends?
I think he was marrying Nikki.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong about it, but.
This was a very confusing movie. I'm sorry. There was too many names, too many like body swap things.
Hold on, let's see.
But anywho, it was like that. I mean, it was like a lot of things kind of rubbed me the wrong way about it, and I was like, man, this is like just like I could almost see if this was like a movie from the 90s, the tagline would be like, bitches be crazy. You know, like it was like, it felt really on the nose, really silly.
Porky's
like,
four, bitches be crazy.
Porky's, yeah, exactly. It was like, dude, what is this? Because like the dudes were bad, but like none of them were like, oh, this is the whole reason things are awful.
Well, I mean, I would say again, like Cyrus gets punished, right? He goes to jail. Yeah. For Ruben something dies, do, yeah, for cheating, right? Yeah. And what's his face kind of was sleeping with a girl that was underage and messing with her head, which led her to go, from what I'm reading, led her to she went to a mental institution after that episode they had that they talked about.
Well, no, because remember Forbes in Beatrice's body explains like she's always had these issues mentally, but Dennis didn't know that, and just at some point she like really, they kept saying, oh, she's having another episode, she's having another episode, and she eventually did and freaked out.
Right, so these guys aren't good because they are dismissive of her mental state.
Yeah, totally.
But
I'm not forgiving the men for this. I'm just like not forgiving of, oh, she went to this mental asylum mental institution for X amount of years. Like how many years is this supposed to be after the fact? Like 10?
I'd have to look it up. I don't know offhand, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is I felt like all the characters behaved terribly, right?
Yes.
Questionable. And I feel like they all kind of got punished in a way.
Absolutely. But what instigated all this
was because revenge.
Two women were really fucking mad. Which is fine, but I'm like, don't make it seem like because they're mad and crazy. That's fucked up.
Right, okay. So you're saying you didn't like the reasoning behind her motive to to start all this to begin with.
Hey, oh, they killed her brother. Maybe, sure, why not? That sounds
great. That's what I would say. Like they should have spent more time on the like this, I don't even know if it's important, but like the scientific tech of it. It just seemed like kind of lazily introduced. That's my biggest problem is like, I feel like they could have like fleshed that out a bit more, like spent more time with it. Cause it seems like only literally and figuratively a device to get them to this point of like body swapping.
Yeah. That seems to be the case no matter how brief it is. Cause it was a briefcase.
Totally.
In case anybody's wondering.
Well, I mean, we're very punny. Is it because of the fires? Or is this what we're like? There's real stress.
Well, I'm not going to be fucking Joe Biden talking to fucking Kamala. Like, well, you, this one seems to hit close to home, far away. Oh, no pun intended. I'm like, you shut the fuck up. I'd be pissed. I mean, she was pissed, clearly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say this movie sort of like vaguely remembered. What was the movie we saw? It was like a British movie. It was about the guy who nobody liked. They were at his birthday party.
Shit. Nobody likes you? No. it was something.
It was like something like that. Like, yeah. Nobody likes you or something, right? Like,
damn, what was it called? Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. Where he's like, but they all like, he he invites all these people over. They think it's going to be like this crazy party, but then you realize that they nobody really liked him.
Yeah, fuck.
We'd have to go.
That's fucking me. Because I just remembered, or I came across that movie recently, and I was like, no, I didn't really like that movie, but like it had an interesting premise. I don't remember. But yeah.
I know, right? It's like we reviewed so many movies.
The Empty Man. I'm just kidding.
Jessica.
All My Friends Hate
All
Me.
All My Friends Hate Me, yes.
Yeah.
I kind of remember like the essential plots of it, you know, it's not the same type of movie, right? But it kind of reminded me a bit of that, and
right, the actor that played Forbes.
I didn't like him. I think that's what I've been trying to say.
I was gonna say I didn't mind him, but I was like, he low key was like a not built Adam Driver.
Yeah.
They're the same guy. That's right. Lena Dunham. Dumb bum.
Yeah, I was not a fan of his. I think he's like the only one too. I think I was okay with everybody else, more or less. I don't know.
That's
bad writing. I think it's just bad writing. Honestly, I think it's just like poor writing. That's what I'm gonna chop it up to. I mean, I'm sure all these guys are very like serious about their craft and they're good actors and stuff, but
yeah. And I'd almost say I think this guy also wrote the live action Cowboy Bebop.
Well, there you go. That explains it.
Yeah, which is very telling. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It was like something with Cowboy Bebop, but the live action.
Yeah.
John Cho and all those guys.
Pretty. So what do you think of the ending here? That I did not like. I know we haven't talked enough about her because I don't think she really stood out too much as a character. It was Shelby and Cyrus are kind of like her leads, but
which is kind of weird, right? Because like she was kind of the driving force for a lot of what happens, but this is a really tough movie where some of the actors don't get to be in the rest of the movie, but they are because they're in somebody else's body. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like her specifically, like we were talking about it, like she I don't know if we said this yet, but she wants to stay. She doesn't want to leave Nikki's body because she wants Nikki's life, which is,
but then there's like a fucking weird twist where who goes up to her? Was it
Forbes, whoever was Forbes in Forbes' body?
Beatrice, Forbes' sister, was like, I think the move is, you know, convince him like, oh, if he really wants to be, convince him to stay. And if he actually does stay, then he actually doesn't love you. And I was like, that's a fucked up thing to do. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's why I'm like, why is it like, so manipulative? Like, it's like a.
But it was unintentionally. It was, I mean, in retrospect, right? By the end of the movie, we kind of understand what Forbes was doing.
I'm just trying to say, I understand. I can't be like, no, women can't be bad people. I'm just saying, like, is this like overtly like, oh, you know, the women are going to be the reason everybody has a bad time at the end of this movie?
Yeah. I would argue like they all kind of are terrible people. That would.
Oh, for sure. No, I'm not arguing against that either. Like, I've always said, yes, they're all bad people.
Right.
But I just think, like, rationally, I'm like, what? Why would, you know?
Yeah, I didn't like her decision either. I didn't.
Are you trying to say Shelby's got mental issues too? Like, because that's such an irrational, like, that's a mentally ill thing to do, right? I get angry too, but I'm not going to go out of my way to do that. I'm just going to be like, fuck off, you know, live your life and not get out of my life.
It almost seemed, because I guess we should also say, like, everything leading up to this scene, Shelby was like, no, this isn't a good idea. She didn't even want to do it. You know, she was trying to find some sort of truth. And for her to make that decision didn't seem authentic.
No.
Yeah, for her character. Like, it's almost like we should have had her character be that way the entire time.
Yes.
Like, be manipulative the entire time and try to, like, purposely stay in people's body, or, like, kind of be more of a driving force. But then we won't get the ending they made, right, with Beatrice.
Yeah.
You know? And I agree with you. I don't think by the end, when she's, when they're back in their bodies and they don't believe that they're in the same bodies, that, like, that scene did not land. I get what it's trying to say. Like, she finally has the confidence to say the things she hasn't said to Sirius about his shortcomings as in this relationship.
Yeah, which leads to what happens then. So is she gonna date somebody else and then potentially do something really horrible to them too? You know, like, it just keeps it lends itself to, yeah, like this, oh, she's fucked up too, you know, Beatrice is fucked up, like, oh, you know, like, that's kind of off-putting for me. I don't know. Which is not to say I need to preface this with, like, I think people should, if they want to watch this movie, it's not a bad time. I just, that was, like, the one thing that really, like, really ruined it for me towards the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, no, I'm totally on board with you. I would say, like, people didn't always behave, like, rationally. Does that make sense? Like, they didn't behave.
No, like, a little too extreme. And there was, like,
Or maybe we should have, like, known more about these characters. It's almost like we supposed to spend more time with them before they started body swapping.
Oh, but, you know, to be fair, I don't think any of them were Mexican, so we probably wouldn't understand. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. Oh, hello. I think you froze.
Oh, I can still see you. Oh, yeah. I'm reconnecting.
Okay.
So, you hear me?
Yeah. I can see you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's just a subtle hint that we should get off the internet.
Stop talking. The creators of Garden or whatever the fuck is, like, onto us now, or what's his name?
Yeah, he controls the internet.
Yeah.
Greg Jardine. Alrighty, let's move over to ratings. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give It's What's Inside 5.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I think I'm right in the middle too, to be honest. I was gonna say like 5, I was gonna say like a 6 maybe.
I thought a 6, but the more we talked about it, I was like, nah, I don't know. I mean, it was not a boring watch, I'll give it that. It was never boring.
Mm-hmm. But now that we're sitting with the movie, we're like, we're kind of ripping it apart a little bit. We're kind of like,
yeah, it's like,
yeah.
But again, it's not a boring movie. It's got a really good pace. I'll be honest. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it did something with its editing. It did great. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah. I would agree with all that too. Like, I find it was a good movie. Easy watch, breezy watch, like something you put on and like get some fun out of it.
Yeah.
But I think as we like deep analysis, like we could just rip apart the whole movie and get like find you know, the seams of it. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.
Oh no. Okay, is that the fire?